Welcome to Talking Toonies, where average people talk about average money concepts with the hopes of creating a not-so-average financial future for you, the listener. Let's get started.
Buying a house, usually the largest financial transaction of your life. I'm your host, Nick. This is episode 13, all about figuring out this large purchase. Talking Toonies is sponsored by Sunrise Credit Union, a financial institute in southwestern Manitoba, owned by the people it serves. Awesome people helping awesome people achieve their financial goals. Today, I'm joined by real estate agent and my friend, Cheryl Campbell. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Nick.
We are going to explore your expertise. We're going to see if you really can help some listeners when it comes to real estate purchases. But first, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, my name is Cheryl Campbell. I'm a real estate agent here in Brandon, Manitoba. I work at RE/MAX Valley View Realty.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've been an agent for 2 years now, so still new.
Yep.
But well, loving it.
And the thing is I've known Cheryl for a while and super fun, super personal. I'm telling you, if you need to meet your real estate needs in the Brandon, Manitoba area, please reach out to her. And you know what I'll do, Cheryl? I'll put your contact information in the description of this episode.
I'm happy to help.
Oh, this is awesome. And I'm going to learn a lot too. You know, I do believe in owning a house. It's a great way to build some wealth. Most Canadians pay their mortgages on time. And after long periods of time, you own the house. And this really increases someone's net worth. Paying off your mortgage in a way is a forced savings account. The majority of Canadians' largest asset in their lives is the house that they live in. So this is a huge transaction, right? Can people build good wealth without owning a house? Yes. If you're listening to this and you're a renter, you can still be wealthy and do okay. Don't get me wrong. But owning a house does cost a lot of money, doesn't it, Cheryl?
Yes, it does.
And yeah, the mortgage bottom lines, they're expensive. But I do believe and I do encourage people to become homeowners. But before becoming a homeowner, there's things people need to do when it comes to planning. What is the best thing you see, Cheryl, when it comes to people financially? When they're ready to buy a house. What is that?
The best thing, the number one thing that we tell everyone before you start your house hunt is to get pre-approved.
Yes.
Meet your banker, meet your mortgage broker, get pre-approved for the purchase.
Isn't that true? And because it can become kind of like an emotional thing, right? You walk into a house and you're just like, oh my God, this is like the one I want.
It's,
and then yeah.
It is. Everyone, well, not everyone. We find that a lot of people think that perhaps they can afford more than what their bank would allow them to. So I've had situations where someone isn't pre-approved and they have fallen in love with the house. They've fallen in love with the house. They love it. They want to put an offer on it. They go to their bank and it just can't happen.
Yeah.
It can happen. And that's disappointing for everyone.
Yes.
It's disappointing for me because I haven't been able to help you. It's disappointing for you because you love this house. And the next houses you're going to always compare to that house. So
isn't that true? That's such a huge step, right? So get pre-approved. Awesome. Down payments are really important, right? I believe, again, we're looking at achieving not so average financial futures. So I know some people won't agree with me, but I do believe in that 20% down payment. I think that gives you a good sense of equity and like, wow, you save for it. This is not easy. So I do know that might change. We believe that because there's a ton of other expenses that come with this, isn't there?
There are a lot of expenses that come with purchasing a new house. A lot of things that people don't think about. I mean, I guess the most upfront fee that you're going to have right off the hop is a deposit.
Yes.
Lots of people don't know that when you are writing an offer to purchase a home, you need that day deposit for that offer. Usually we ask about $500 or $1,000. So it's not necessarily a large amount of money, but you need it that day in order to put your deposit on that home.
Right. And then the day, what were you saying before we were kind of chatting, the day you kind of, the day you own that house.
So the day of possession, that's when that 5% down payment is due. So that's not, you know, that's not added onto your mortgage over the 25 years. That 5% is due on that day
that
of possession.
Day. And hopefully that's going to be a big check, hopefully, right?
It's,
and if you're new into this, like mortgage, kind of the bank lends you the money.
Yeah.
You're paying this every month. It could be 25 years, hopefully. I don't really like seeing that 30 and beyond. You know what I mean? You don't want to stretch it too much, but you owe that. And it comes with a lot of interest, doesn't it?
It
so having that down payment, it is good. And just owning a house, right? We're talking about property taxes, insurance, energy bills. You add all this up, we believe that that can't go over 40% of your household take-home pay. That's the max. And I know, you know, I had a listener in the Toronto region. He sent me an email a while ago, and it was his first, what was he said about his first property in the 800s. It's like, wow, right? So we look at that and you're like 40%, like get real, man, right?
Yeah.
So I understand that, but then you have to kind of allocate the funds a little differently, right? Yeah. So across the whole country of Canada, across the whole world, real estate really is different prices, right?
It really, really is. Yes. Especially at this time. Things are crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's so different. And so you've kind of touched base on that pre-approval, hustle for that down payment, make that work before, right? We want that.
There are other fees, though, that buyers need to think about.
Okay, tell me.
You need to your lawyer fees. You need to pay lawyers for the paperwork. Mm-hmm. It's land transfer fees. That's one that you got to pay.
And that's maybe a Manitoba thing. I know other provinces don't have that, but here
in boom, Manitoba,
there's another expense for that buyer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even something as little as moving expenses. Good are call. You hiring a moving company to move? Like, that's an expense for you that you are going to need to pay up front.
Wow.
You know, does your home come with appliances? Do you need to buy new appliances? There are so many hidden fees that potentially show themselves.
Yeah, that's so true. And you're not talking a couple $100 here.
No,
you're talking like thousands. And we've mentioned in other episodes about accounts, like you kind of have a sink account, you have an unexpected account. You need the down payment account, but then that needs to be like pretty decent in the whole, you're going to write that check to the lawyer. You're going to get that done that day to make that transaction fairly smooth, right? Like,
exactly. Oh my goodness. And then think about if you move into your home, even if you want to paint it.
Totally.
Paint is not cheap, you know? It adds up quite quickly.
Even the sweat equity you're going to put into it costs money. And that's kind of one of my points too about an unexpected account. You know, we're recording this actually in my home, haha. And I remember we had a slight roofing problem. I think it was like 4 months into it.
Yes.
But again, we're pretty good with figuring things out. So we had an unexpected account. And I just remember the feeling of like, you're so deflated. But at least if you have that account, it's like, okay, a couple $1,000, you can kind of move on. So
my first house that I purchased, we were in it for a week when our water tank blew.
There you go.
And we had to buy a brand new... We didn't have something saved up for it. So trying to even just get that money to handle that, you just have to be prepared.
Yes.
So maybe just because you're approved for a $350,000 home, that might be your top budget. You might want to maybe look at 320, 330, 340.
You're talking my style. I love it. Because you might be a listener going, hey, listen, I'm working hard. I'm doing whatever. But you're telling me to save for my future. You're telling me to save for the unexpected. You're telling me to do this and this. I just don't have it. It's like, great. Don't overstretch yourself then. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it, right? Kind of backtrack that. Second thing, I think it's an interesting topic right now is interest rates. Hey, like they're a hot topic right now. Yeah, because there's difference. You can have a fixed rate or a variable rate when you get a mortgage. A fixed is just set. It's just like you pay that money. A variable changes due to the lending rate of the bank. Mm-hmm. But rates are very low, historically low. Right now, this is what, May? Of 2022. So what is your kind of, I don't know, do you have a take on that? Or are you kind of like, ugh?
I mean, it's kind of like you said, they are great. They're historically low, but I just want to let people know it changes. It does change. Yep. That is something that you have to prepare for.
Yes.
You are not going to have that rate over the whole time.
We have a fixed rate on this house we're in right now for 4 more years and it's 1.95. And that I know is like, what? That doesn't happen. So you have to plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. That's where I love investment calculators for putting your money in to see how much you have in 20 years. But it's the same with mortgage calculators. Go in there on the internet and play with it and change your 1.95, which is ridiculously low. Change it to 3.5 and see that difference.
And it makes a huge difference in your payment.
And if you're sitting here about to buy a house and you can't afford it at 3.5% or whatever it is, and I'm not saying don't buy the house, like as I talk to a real estate agent, you know what I mean? But you even said you're so open about that, about having that good relationship with people and being open and honest and them experiencing a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, a good thing is being comfortable with these changes. So Definitely that. And again, check out Sunrise Credit Union. You know, people save thousands with their products, so certainly give them a look. I will say though, Cheryl, there's a real true cost of mortgage. And let me do a little math for you, okay?
Okay,
so if you purchase a house for $450,000, mm-hmm. let's say you put $50,000 down, so you have a $400,000 mortgage. You get, you know, 25-year mortgage at 2.7%. Your mortgage payment roughly will be $1,850 a month. This is equal to $22,220 a year. Times that by 25, your real cost is $555,000 plus that $50,000 you put down when you're much younger. So the real cost of that $450,000 house was $605,000.
Amazing how that adds up.
And that's just math, right?
Yeah.
So why I say that is it is great and it builds your net worth and it's a home and I encourage people to do it. But those primary residents, you know, if you buy it for 450 and you sell it for 600 and you go to your buddies, you go, I made $150,000. You didn't make $150,000.
So.
Yeah. And again, there's fees and all those things to that too, right? And this is not even including the heat, the water, the upkeep, the taxes, the closing costs, move, like all you said, all those things, right? So it can be a nonstop. Like I notice, and we've talked about it before, it's like, oh, I need new floors. You know, my wife and I need new floors. And all of a sudden it's like, you do that. And then you do the next thing.
Right.
And then you do the next thing.
It never ends.
So have the money and also accept your house. You know, if you're listening to this and you're making huge dollars, like I'm talking 500, 600, and you big money. I don't make big money, mm-hmm. right? The listener here, our average listener is not making big money. You can't have it all, can you?
No.
You can't have the perfect neighborhood in the perfect brand new house. You can't do that. You know, something's got to give. Would you not agree? When you're looking at buyers, something's got to give, right?
I agree 100%. Another thing I always tell people is you don't have to change your home right away too. Like you don't have to move into that home and have all the renos done at once. Like save mm-hmm. your money, pick away at your house,
yeah,
you know, just do little changes here and there. Eventually you will get to that end place. Your house will be what you want, but you don't need to do it all at once.
I know. And that is kind of that battle. Like you look and you're like, okay, I'm going to buy a brand new build, but then you're paying that upfront cost, mm-hmm. which comes with a mortgage, which comes with an interest that's going to happen and happen and happen and happen and happen.
Not to mention GST with new builds.
There you go. So there's always that. There's that thing, right? And I know we looked at it too, but then the basement wasn't finished. And I'm like, well, that's
another $45,000.
Yeah, at least, right? So there's all those things. And I guess it's like anything in finance. It is personal. These mm-hmm. decisions are personal. We're not sitting here saying, don't buy the new house, don't buy the old house. Stay renting, don't stay renting. Everything is personal. It's just education, learning, and really sitting down and doing the numbers, which...
Yes.
Oh boy, it's expensive.
Just know what you are comfortable with. That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
Everyone's different, but just know your point, money point, and stick to it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Cause there's, you know, transportation fees, there are kids, and I'm a big believer in saving for the future. You know that. Pay yourself first. And when you're doing these mortgage numbers, don't be like, oh, I was saving $500,000 to my investment or $500 a month to my investment. I'll just take that and put it in my house. No. Keep that, right?
Yeah.
Keep that so that you can still keep making that not so average financial future. Speaking of not so average financial future, I do have a couple tricks when it comes to paying down the mortgage. Making payments every 2 weeks sounds silly, but that's 26 payments throughout the year. That's actually 13 months instead of just paying it monthly. So you actually make one added monthly payment a year, and it's a couple years off your mortgage. If you ever come across any money, this is inheritance or anything like that, I do like the idea of making a lump sum payment on it. Some people will say, well, you can still do better in the markets than a 3-4%. That is true historically, for the most part, but there is something about getting this mortgage paid off, which will be a wonderful time for people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's paid, you own it.
Yeah.
What a feeling, right? Now, I do have something though. Mortgage insurance. I do have a bone to pick with the mortgage insurance here. So ideally 20% down. That does, as you say, avoids the, what's the term again? The
CMHC.
Right.
With
if you're not paying 20%,
right?
Right.
So anything less than 20% with the mortgage or down payment, they automatically insure it.
They insure it because they're like, hey, you don't have enough money.
Exactly. They need to cover themselves and it ensures that they get all the money back should something go wrong.
So that's fair. Here's my thing. So if you're getting a mortgage insurance after you're paying the mortgage, the bank will sell you mortgage insurance. It sounds great because if you pass away, mm-hmm. your partner, then they take care of the mortgage. Yeah. On the surface, it's not a bad product. However, there's a better product. So what I say is scrap the mortgage insurance. Do not get that product. Get a term life insurance instead. And what I mean by that is you would get a term. That means it's only through the length of the years of the mortgage. You pay into that term life insurance. The one benefit is it's a lower amount a month than the mortgage insurance. The best thing is if I pass away, let's say I do this right now and I have a mortgage for 25 years and I pass away in 24 years. Well, with the term life insurance, I'll get that big lump sum money will go to my partner, my wife. So let's say if it was for $500,000, I unfortunately pass away, she gets $500,000. But with the mortgage insurance, they insure the amount of mortgage. So if I only have a year left, and let's say I have $2,000 left on the mortgage, well, guess what the bank's going to give my wife?
$2,000.
Right? So yeah, I would say, my first property, I had mortgage insurance. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, ooh, wait a second. This, I can do this through a term life insurance where I still have, in case something happens, my wife can pay off the property's mortgages, obviously, and have other money. Mm-hmm. So food for thought, if you will, right? Give it some research. Reach out to me, you know, give me an email, whatever, if you want some help with that. Yeah. And what about like when people sell their home or they're like moving up in a house? Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, they'll reset their mortgage. And what I mean by that is they only have 10 years left, but then they find the big baller house and now they have a 25-year mortgage, right?
All over again.
And again, it's personal. If that's what you're doing, that's a dream home, all those things, and you can manage it for another 25 years, great. But it would be sort of nice to not reset that mortgage and just get rid of it. Okay, so we have some homework. We always say in these episodes, Cheryl, we have some homework. Okay. Number one, you need to start before. If you're going to buy a house, you need to start way before down payment, right? Save.
Yes.
Like you said, then get pre-approved, right? Mm-hmm.
Get pre-approved before you start looking.
Yes. I love it. Start shopping then with that price in mind. What can you afford? We've said you can't have it all. Mm-hmm. If it's the neighborhood, the size of the house, the condition of the house, manage that. Understand that nothing is perfect. And then build those unexpected accounts, you know, because things will happen.
Things almost always do happen.
I don't think you've ever met a person that said like, oh no, 5 years in home ownership, like something hasn't gone wrong, because it happens.
It happens. It's a house. I mean, it's lived in. You are using that home. Things are going to break.
And once the mortgage is started, I do encourage people to go to paying it every 2 weeks. It doesn't seem like much, but you end up having an extra payment every year and that takes years off your mortgage. And please, if you're selling a home and moving to another one, keep the same terms, right? If you have 15 years left, go 15 years on that. Like, try those things. And you've done such a good job as a real estate agent, I believe, because you do want what's best for people. And I think that's wonderful to hear that you're kind of on their team, because you'll have these clients that'll come back to you over and over again. Cheryl, I want to thank you for coming. Cheryl's a good friend of mine, so please reach out to her. She's wonderful, easy to talk to, and so non-judgmental, and it's just been a wonderful time. So thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners. Please subscribe, rate us 5 stars. Tune in next time as we continue to take real steps to improve your financial future. If you have a topic idea you want covered or a question you want simply answered, please email us at talkingtoonies@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time.
Talking Toonies is for educational purposes only. Thank you for tuning in.